welcome to Bench Boost Boys Game Week 22 and 23 forecast, a nocturnal wanker maniac, with me, Gav, and you, Scott. Hi, Scott, how are you?
Doing well. I mean, we fucked up last week.
Okay.
We completely fell.
I think a lot of people did.
No, but I mean...
Clerically.
Yes, because our episode had absolutely no mention whatsoever of game week 21.
No, it didn't. And the game weeks, as we have talked about many times, are coming thick and fast this season. And we didn't quite take into account the cutoff times in that between shows, a cheeky little game week would squeeze in.
And that makes it better for me because game week 20 was horrible. So it's good that I can just breeze over it and move on to game week 21.
Well, with that in mind, we are going to have to be brief about certain things in this week's episode, and that's because, strictly speaking, we are reviewing Game Week 20 and Game Week 21, and then previewing 22 and 23. Mm. So a bit of a monster ahead of us. So we're basically doing things in that order. So strap in and let the fun commence.
Let's do some admin stuff first. Follow us. Follow us at Bench Boost Boys on Twitter.
Okay, I will.
Go to the website. BenchBoostBoys.club.
I might.
And join our fucking mini league.
Ah, good point.
The code is P2IFBX.
Join it or die. Scott, cast your mind back to about 35 years ago. Game week 20.
The average score was 42.
Okay, and what do you get? Come on.
Well...
Come on.
The total points that my team scored was 47.
How's that?
Well, the players on my field scored 30, and the players on my bench scored 17.
Are you not familiar with the rules of FPL? Did you play your bench boost?
Would you believe me if I said yes?
No.
Well, yeah, you're right. I didn't play my bench boost.
What went right? Let's get stuck in. What went right?
Yep, that section's done. Now what went wrong? There wasn't a lot that went right for me. The only thing that really went right was a clean sheet for Diaz. I mean, Antonio got an assist. Chilwell got a clean sheet as well, but he also got a yellow card, so 5 points. Everything was crap. Everything was absolute shit. And the one transfer that I wanted to make during my wild card to bring in a player that I had felt like I'd been missing out on all season was Suchek. And I brought him in, and then I flopped him onto my bench. I was like, oh, this is the game week. He can sit out.
And how did he do in game week 20?
He scored 15 points. Single-handedly scored half the amount of points as the rest of my 11 players did. So I was fucking fuming. And I finished the game week with 30 points. My overall game week rank was around 6.5 million. And that's out of what, like 8 million?
8.5, yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah, horrific.
Fucking terrible.
Who did you captain?
I captained Bruno Fernandes. He blanked, so he got 2 points. So
we love turning two into four.
Yeah. If you listen back to last week's...
I said that. Foreshadowed slightly.
Yeah, so I know you did slightly better than me.
Okay.
Put me out of my misery.
46, so one of those ones where I got marginally better than the game week average. I did play Suchek, so I got his 15 points. I got 6 for Watkins for scoring a goal. I got the Creswell assist and bonus point and clean sheet and the yellow card for Chilwell. That was about the size of it. Also captained Fernandes. So, love to turn that 2 into 4. Didn't really leave much on the bench. Justin from Leicester had a point. Smith Rowe at Arsenal 2. So, nothing spectacular, but much, much better than you. And the game week rank, though, was 2.8 something million. So, it's not lovely, is it?
No, and I haven't really made any, like, notes. But I think just looking at my team, the only kind of changes that I made between game week 20 and game week 21 involved bringing DCL into my team. So I got rid of Brewster.
Mm.
I can't remember how I did that because there's a bit of a differential in price there. But I think I had that money in the bank. I'm not going to try and look back at my two teams and compare them.
Yep.
But that was my transfer in for game week 21. So let's just go straight into game week 21. I don't think there's any point in...
No, let's get straight into it. So go on, you go.
Yeah, one of those game weeks where... There was a lot that went wrong for my team. So blanks from DCL, who I did bring in, a blank from Antonio, another blank from Bruno Fernandes. I mean, he got a clean sheet point, so 3 points.
Yeah.
For a $10 million asset, that's just not good enough. I captained Son, He scored 2 points. Kafal and Justin. Those two defenders, Kafal and Justin, they're the kind of players that you... They're so consistent all year. They're just consistently... They're probably averaging 4 points a game or something like that. I bring them in 2 weeks later, they both get 1 point.
That's a shame. Just to touch on the Son captain pick, we did talk in the week about this, and you did that because of fixture, but it was a bold move to captain Son, particularly Son without Kane.
Yeah, but I think like Kane being injured brings the opportunity for players like Vinicius or Lamella to come straight into the team.
Gareth Bale,
yeah. I mean, those kind of players, they're not going to be running at defenders. They're putting balls through to that predominant, the guy that's playing number nine, and that is Son, even though he's not a number
he's
nine.
He's like a kind of shadow striker.
Yeah, like a false nine almost.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was playing Brighton and Hove Albion, and they've been in good form. That was their third game now in a row where they've actually gotten a result, a decent result. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't have really foreshadowed that. They're coming, what, like 16th in the league? Mm. So they're a shit team. So I just thought, fuck, I'm going to roll the dice on this.
No, I get it.
An absolute wizard. So the good for me...
Yeah, I was going to say, what went right?
The good for me was Martinez. I started Martinez. So obviously, clean sheet, 3 bonus points there. Diaz, I think I was probably one of the lucky ones. Because I know there are a lot of people that are frustrated. And I think we have a tasty tweet coming a little bit later with respect, which touches obviously on Pep Roulette, which is a game that everyone kind of plays, especially now when there's a lot of people talking about the importance of having 3 Man City assets in your team. I only have one.
Yeah.
And I'm not in any hurry to bring in a second one because you never know if they're going to get played or not. DS, clean sheet, 2 bonus points. Salah, 2 goals and 3 bonus points. So he was huge. It was big for Salah because he'd blanked for, what, 6 games in a row before that? So massive result for Salah. Glad I hung on to him. I bought in Madison. I had been tossing up between Barnes and Madison. I talked about them both on my watch list last week. Bought Madison in, and he got the assist for Barnes. So pretty good, but, I mean, yeah. Barnes got the goal. So did I do wrong? I don't know.
That's still a good result.
Yeah, I'm not going to bite myself.
I said last week I favoured Barnes ahead of Madison, but they're pretty even.
Yeah. The thing that kind of got me over the line this week was Patrick Bamford. So he, I've looked at the overall stats. You know, for 6.6 million, there's no one with better stats in terms of total points scored. You know, points per million for Patrick Bamford is huge. So held on to him. I know that there's talk about him not being in form, but just like we saw with Callum Wilson in game week 20, Patrick Bamford stepped up and he got, 1 goal, 2 assists, and 3 bonus points. So 15 points there. So pretty happy with that. And
so how many points you get?
Ended up with 66 points.
Game week average, 48.
48, yep. So well above, I can't do the math in my head, 18 points above the average. And the game week, I ended up, my game week rank was about 1.2 mil. So my overall rank now, I'm sitting about 640,000.
That's pretty good, mate. All right.
Talk me through your team.
All right. Well, do you know what? When we've talked about how we think an okay or a decent game week for a player is 5 points or more. From that perspective, I only had 2 starting players that did that. So on paper, an absolute disaster. Like, the comment I've got here is, this is a misleading game week result, as outside of Dallas and Salah, I had an absolute shocker. So I did get 59 points, which is way clear over the average. Puts me at a game week rank of 2.2 million, so nothing to write home about, but you know me, I'm always happy to get above the average. But Dallas, 7 points, got a goal and a yellow card. Salah, as you said, 2 goals, 3 bonus points. I captained him. So Salah got 30 points. He got more than half of my entire game week points. Everyone else, absolute shit show. Like, terrible. And I did completely fall foul. I bought in Gundogan. Got a midfield clean sheet. I also had...
Gundogan?
Where are you from? Ipswich?
It's Gundogan.
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 I don't think we've got time for this. I also...
Take this offline.
I also brought in Cancelo, and he didn't play. So that kind of backfired.
Well, I've looked at the... I mean, since he started playing, he's only skipped 2 games now. So he's been rested for 2 games, which from Pep's perspective is pretty good for a player.
Bloody Pep. So
he just timed it really well to annoy a lot of FPL managers.
Yeah, so my current overall rank is just slightly better than the 1.5 million mark. Guess it could be worse. My immediate short-term goal is still to get inside that top mil, so hopefully things get better.
Yeah, so...
Oh, Bamford on the bench, by the way.
I was going
to
say.
You were thinking to yourself, he's not getting away with this. Mm. Bamford on the bench. That's just the way I structured the team. I just wasn't that confident. Probably a little bit too much bias towards what I, as you touched on, saw as poor form. Popped him on the bench in the first sub position. 15 points. Calvert-Lewin and Watkins up front for me, both blanked. Feels great.
Should we take a little bit of a break and then go into our watch list and... I guess a bit of a forecasting of the next couple of game weeks.
Let's do it.
Let's take a break.
Watch list update. Scott.
That's how you want to start the segment.
Who's on your watch list?
I've kept a couple from last week.
And stolen one of mine. Oh, hang on. You've got 1, 2, 3. I can see on here 4. 2 are from last week and 1 you've stolen from me this week. So you've got 1. And it's Minamino.
Hear me out.
Go on.
He's a delicious little Japanese fucker. A little bit of sushi, I love it. He's just signed for Southampton on loan till the end of the season.
It's a good move.
I think it's really good business for Southampton because Minamino, when he comes on for Liverpool, is an extremely good player.
He looks awesome.
He's dangerous. You know, he's got a bit of a tough break trying to break into that team where you've got... You know, Salah, Firmino,
Jota's about to come back.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be hard for Minamino to find time. I know Mane's injured at the moment. There's always that speculation that, you know, Jota does come back in and, you know, kind of take a little bit more of the mantle towards the end of the season, like we saw him starting to do. So Minamino, it's probably good for him to get out to Southampton. Southampton obviously have... some decent attacking assets. So obviously Danny Ings, we've talked about Shea Adams in the past and Theo Walcott playing. I've seen the way that they've been playing lately. Very rarely do you see all three of those players on the field at the same time anymore. So last week, I don't think Shea Adams got a start. I think that with you know, Danny Ings being quite injury prone, I think Minamino's going to get some game time. He's pretty damn cheap. He's only like 6 mil. Yeah. So, as an attacking asset, I think he's actually a bit of a bargain.
So, are you just waiting to see where he slots into that Southampton team? Or if they use him? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why he's on my watch list. I just want to keep an eye on it. He's not coming into my team anytime soon. We say this at the start of the season and during the other windows.
Scott, turn it off, mate.
Give players time to settle in the teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. new players into... Yeah. I mean, he's not completely new into...
He's not new into the Premier League or anything like that.
It's still a new team and...
Yeah, give us time to see what the manager's going to do with him.
I mean, a player of his quality, though, you'd imagine he should become a first-teamer at Southampton. But it depends where they can slot him in, I suppose.
Yeah, possibly. Not probably. Possibly.
Sure, we'll see.
I see one name on your list. Maha.
Josh Maja.
Yeah.
So, again, I kind of watch it and see. He's coming on loan from Bordeaux to Fulham. Fulham aren't exactly pulling up trees. I guess they're inconsistently hitting form here and there. I guess that's the definition of inconsistent. But I remember seeing Maja in the Championship, and he looked really good. And he was a promising young striker and... The Sunderland hierarchy fucked up all his contract renegotiations and he ended up getting a nice offer to go to France. I think he's done okay there from my small amount of knowledge of French football. And now he's at Fulham on loan. So yeah, same. Let's see where he slots in for Fulham and if he can do it. And then the other one for me is one that you've got as well. So I guess we can both talk about him. But Rudiger, Chelsea. Tuchel seems to like him.
Yeah, and it's the price point, isn't it?
Yeah, he feels like he's probably just come in ahead of Zuma. So I'm just going to, yeah, as you say, it's a price point. Keep an eye on him, see if he's playing regularly. I feel like Chelsea and Man City are probably the two biggest clubs playing a lot of selection roulette, so I'm not going to be any rush.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Chilwell was left out of the side, you know, in game week 21 kind of, you know, screwed me a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, not a little bit. You know, it wasn't that bad because, you know, I ended up getting, I think, well, Chelsea actually won 2-0. So he did fuck me.
Yeah, it was pretty bad for
me. I didn't get clean sheet points. But anyway, you know, seeing Rudiger come in, he's cheap, 5.5. He could slot into that cheap defensive line that I have kind of going. And cheap defenders are capable of scoring big points. You know, we see that with Burnley assets. We see that with players like Stones from Man City.
And another guy you've got on your watch list?
Dallas, yeah.
Dallas.
So, yeah, I mean, not the end of the world that there's a little bit more roulette happening with Chelsea at the moment. Just, I would say, probably just avoid those assets in general.
Just, yeah. I don't know. If you see someone in there consistently and they're doing well and they look like they're an unmovable starter, go for it. But you know me. By this point, I'm always pretty terrified by players and you don't know if they're going to start or not. But Stuart Dallas, undeniable. The guy's not getting clean sheets. He's getting assists and goals.
Mm.
You watch Stuart Dallas play and sometimes it just looks like he could be playing as like the false nine or a number 10.
Let's talk about the Game Week 22 fixtures coming up. We won't go into all the details because Sheffield United and West Brom, we don't need to talk about that game at all. Your match of the week. But Wolves, Arsenal, this will be a big game for Arsenal because they're in pretty decent form.
Mm.
I think I saw some pictures today. Aubameyang's back in training, so that's huge for them. Yep. I bought him into my team for all of about 5 minutes. So I bought, when KDB was injured, I bought Aubameyang in. Next minute, he's out for personal reasons, so I ended up bringing in Madison. So I made a transfer for 2 days that cost me 4 points. So furious about that, but all right.
I hope his mum's okay, by the way.
Yeah, of course. That's my first thought. Saka and Smith Rowe, bit of an injury cloud over both those players.
Mm. Yeah, exciting young players. Wolves-wise, don't know.
Maybe we see Odegaard this weekend.
Really?
No. So the next game is Man United-Southampton, so a player that I talked about on my watch list last week was Harry Maguire.
Okay.
He's a sour-looking prick. He's just such an ass. He just looks like an asshole. But he's a solid defender. He scores offset pieces. He scores headers. He's always up in the box for those kind of situations. He's playing pretty well at the moment. Obviously, for me, the big one is Bruno Fernandes. He did pretty well in the reverse fixture. Mm. I think he scored a goal. Edison Cavani scored 2 goals in the reverse fixture for this one. I think Fernandes got the assist credited for one of those goals. I think this will be a pretty good game for Fernandes owners and maybe another one. You know, he's at home this time. Possibly a decent captaincy choice.
Yep, absolutely a possibility. Cavani, he's another one of these ones where I don't think he's... You couldn't say hand on heart he's going to start every game. I mean, you definitely can't.
You couldn't, no, but for the amount of time he's probably scored more goals for the amount of minutes he's played than any other striker in the entire Premier League.
And in fairness, and we've talked about this, the lack of depth in potential selections at striker, it's not that deep when you've got bigger hitters in on paper like Werner just not doing anything. Maybe if the money's right, you would roll the dice on Cavani, because as you say, you know, if he's going to come off the bench and grab a goal, that's better than Werner scoring no goals.
Well, Edison Cavani has probably scored more points than Timo Werner. I mean, we'd have to look at the stats. It's something that we certainly are capable of doing. I'll let you do that, but I'm just going to start talking about Newcastle Crystal Palace. So Callum Wilson was gained some popularity after game week 20. He got an absolute haul in that game. We got 15 points. You know, a few weeks ago, I had Jamal Lewis, and I think he scored all of about maybe 11 points for the entire 8 weeks that I had him, and he scored 11 points on the weekend for Newcastle last week. So he's back on my watch list. He's cheap as chips. He's got a shit haircut, but won't hold that against him. And Zaha, for me, is probably another one to watch in this fixture, because Zaha usually does pretty well against Newcastle.
Just to say, Werner's on 72 points. Cavani's on 43. Werner's picking up his points, assists here and there, bonus points here and there, and obviously just participation points.
Bonus points?
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Yeah, not too often, but they're there. Whereas Cavani, Yeah, it's just less consistent, so he's not getting the 2 points for playing games. Werner's picked up most of his points just by playing games, which
he's
Cavani is
probably played. Of the 20 games Chelsea's played so far this season, he's probably played 19 of them. So you're looking right there. If you take away those...
You're more or less right. He's been involved in 20 out of 21 games.
Yeah, so he's only been dropped once. I think it was for Tuchel's first game.
Yeah, correct.
You're looking at, if 20 games, that's 40 points just of appearances.
So that's the difference between him and Cavani, basically.
Yeah, so Cavani's better.
I thought you were going to conclude about, yeah, so pick Werner.
No, pick Cavani. You'll save yourself 2 mil.
Do you know what? If you're picking an FPL asset based on, oh, well, at least he gets 2 points every game, your soul's not in it. Do something else.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, like, if Edison Cavani isn't needed in a game, they won't play him. So you have him as your starting player and he doesn't play, that's fine. You'll end up getting whoever is next on your bench, be it Antonio or Brewster or Bamford or whoever. But if he does play, he comes on, he scores some fancy Uruguayan goal.
Or does nothing and you get 1 point. Wouldn't that be nice?
Whatever.
Moving on.
Yeah, we won't talk about Newcastle and Crystal Palace unless you've got anything to add to that.
Callum Wilson.
I already said that. Burnley, Man City is the next one. Pep Roulette fucked a few people. I don't have any Burnley assets anymore. I'm looking at Nick Pope as a goalkeeper, obviously.
Pope's a good shout.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have Charlie Taylor. He's obviously still injured. I'll probably look at bringing in maybe a Burnley defensive asset later on in the game in the year just to try and save up a little bit of money and push a little bit of money back into my midfield. But, yeah, for me, this game's all about Diaz. Hoping he doesn't get rotated out of the squad like his mates have been rotated out.
He feels like the most concrete person in that defence at the moment, selection-wise.
Yeah, and that just makes me... That's like lulling me into a false sense of security. Mm. There's every single chance that he gets dropped next week just because Cancelo needs a run now and Walker's going to play alongside Cancelo and all of a sudden you're going to have Stones and...
In fairness to Pep, and I don't say that too often, you know, they've got Champions League and all the rest of it coming up. It may just be rotation to keep people fresh.
Yeah, or he's a cunt. Next game is Fulham, Leicester City. I mean, I have 2 Leicester assets. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have you got at least one?
I think I have at least one. I know I do. I've got Justin and I've got Harvey Barnes.
Yeah, I've got Justin and Madison. So the other side of that coin that you can have, you know. For me, I'll be looking for those guys to do well. I know Fulham, you know, their strikers are actually playing pretty well at the moment. Decoud Overeem is scoring, you know, every other game. I know Lookman's been playing pretty well lately. He actually looks pretty dangerous. I know you've had him on and off your watch list all year.
Yeah.
He took that horrible penalty in what, like Game Week 8 or whatever it was.
That was awful.
But yeah, hopefully Leicester can do the job. Bamford out.
The latest word from Bielsa is that he doesn't believe that Bamford or Rafinha will be taking part in the next game, i.e. the game against Everton.
Yeah, and the big name for a lot of people coming back in for this is DCL. A lot of people took him out. He was injured. He came back in.
Blanked.
But he's been brought in by a lot of players. So
again,
he's back in vogue, but not in form.
No, but I think a lot of that is the lack of options. That's why people continually bring in and out Callum Wilson and people like that, because there's not that many options.
Yeah, but I mean, like, DCL's justified his place in FPL history this year by having such an absolute cracking start of the
season. He's
10 games, 10
you can't
games,
compare him
goals.
To Callum Wilson in that sense. Yeah. For me, just as a note, I was all prepared to bring in Rafinha. Obviously, if he's not playing, I'll leave it this week, but I definitely want him in my team at some point.
Yeah, would that leave you with 3 Leeds assets?
I've already got 3, so I'll have to do some moving around.
Melier
would have to go, I think.
About Melier, yeah.
I think he'd be who, because I've got Bamford, Dallas, and Melier. I think could be next week, maybe the week after. I'll get rid of Melier and bring in Rafinha.
Yeah, Rafinha plays in the mid, so you'll have one in every position there.
He's like a nice goal scoring, assist making attacking midfielder.
The next kind of fixture for me is a pretty big one to talk about, because I have, as it stands, 5 assets in this fixture.
Yeah,
that's Villa, West Ham.
I'm in exactly the same boat. I've got Target in defence, Creswell in defence, Souček in midfield, Grealish in midfield, Watkins up front. So, yeah, it's pretty packed.
Yeah, for me, it's a new transfer, which I'll touch on in a hot minute. And I got Martinez in goal, Kufal in defence for West Ham, Souček for West Ham in my midfield, and Antonio up front. So, you know, I'm still stuck with 3 West Ham assets. And that's something that I've been talking about all year is something that I want to
avoid. You're not keen, right? You don't like having three from one team.
No, I don't. And part of the reason is because if Aston Villa rolls over West Ham in this fixture, then what am I left with? I'm left with nothing from that team.
Yeah, it's I guess it's just a lot of assets tied up in one fixture. The same, what if that game's 1-1 and none of your assets are involved in the goals?
Yeah, so I could actually be in a fair bit of trouble in game week 22. So let's just move on to the next game, which is Liverpool-Brighton. I'm really hoping that this is the game that saves me for the game week because Salah's back in form. Can you say that? I don't know. He had one cracking game.
I suppose so. I suppose you can.
But Brighton just beat... They're coming off the back of three great wins. Mm. They're coming off the back of beating Tottenham 1-0. So they're in decent form, but Salah... Mane's out. Minamino's gone. Salah's definitely going to feature in this game, even though they have a pretty packed fixture list at the moment. I think he has to, doesn't he? So for me, I'm pretty confident slapping the armband on Salah for this fixture.
Same.
The next game is Tottenham versus Chelsea, so... A miserable prick of a manager in Jose Mourinho coming up against Tuchel, who's just so unpredictable right now.
I think he's trying to figure out his best team. He said the first game he took control of, it was just, let's see. And then the next game was off the back of a bunch of training sessions. So, for instance, he said he replaced Chilwell with Alonso because he felt Burnley were going to pump high balls over the top. And he said Alonso was better in the air. So it was purely tactical.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how Tottenham play as well.
So there we go. Maybe you'll see. To be honest, as well, like, I don't know kind of how Tuchel operates, but if he's the kind of guy who says, "Well, if you perform well, you stay in the team," I wouldn't be too surprised to see Chilwell left out this weekend or this game week. Sorry.
Slightly unfair because he's been playing well all season. But
should I say Romain Saiss?
Yeah, the big one for this game for me is Son Heung-min. I still have him in my team. I'm hoping he does well there. I think I've put Chilwell in my starting lineup knowing he's likely going to be benched, and I've just strategically placed my starting West Ham defender, I think it's Kufal, on my bench just to come in for Chilwell in the event that does happen. The reason I've done that is because, like I said, I don't want five assets in one game playing. It's never going to work out well. For this game week, I've made one transfer, and I talked about this in the Aston Villa fixture. I didn't mention the name, but it's Target from Aston Villa.
And
I think part of the reason why I wanted to bring Target in now rather than a little bit later is because Mitchell, I brought him in for Mitchell, who was just sitting on my bench as my cheap fifth defender.
Yep.
Target gives me options at the back moving forward, but also I'm confident that game week 26, we might see some double game weeks, and I think Aston Villa has at least two of those coming up.
Mm.
So I'm thinking I might load up on Aston Villa assets. Another one that I'm kind of looking at is Grealish to bring back into my team or potentially Ollie Watkins.
Well, funny you should say that. So I've made some bold transfers and I've spent 8 points. Chilwell, Gundogan and Son all out. They're gone. In Harvey Barnes, Jack Grealish and Monsieur Target. Same reasons, really, like the Target. Seems like a good option to get in there from Villa. He's in form. He's doing well. Chilwell, not convinced he's going to play this week. Can always bring him back in another time. Gundogan, I don't know. I just feel burnt by putting my faith in the in-form defensive midfielder. He's gone. And like you, I'm going to captain Salah this week.
Yeah. I feel like Gundogan was a bit of a trap for a lot of FPL managers. He reminds me of those conversations that you and I had about James Ward-Prowse. Bangs in a couple of great goals. All of a sudden, he's scoring massive points 2 game weeks in a row. Everyone jumps on board. But for the rest of the season, he's just shit. And that's what Gundogan is.
Or maybe that's El Ghazi as well.
Well, Ghazi's not even making the fucking starting lineup. Ross Barkley's back, yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick break. Have a bit of a breath. Take a breath, whatever it is. And then get into game week 23 fixtures, which feels like they're a little bit of a mile away.
All right, but we've got to do it. So let's do it.
Yeah.
Game week 23 fixtures. It's relentless. And it kicks off with Aston Villa versus Arsenal.
Mm.
What are you saying?
Don't have any Arsenal assets in my team anymore. For me, Suchek is probably on the way out at some point. And I might, I mean, he's West Ham player, but Suchek potentially Grealish. And if not, if Saka's back, maybe Saka.
Or Smith Rowe.
Yeah, I think Smith Rowe might be in a bit of a battle for that position with Odegaard.
Well, I was just about to say that, or maybe by game week 23, we might have already seen a little bit of Odegaard. Who knows?
Yeah,
might
I don't. I think I'd give that at least three games, but I think so. Yeah, Smith Rowe. I think he plays as a number ten, and I think Odegaard does too. So, I might hold off on that. Does this fixture even interest? I've seen your entire columns blank here.
Yeah.
It's nothing to add.
It's because I can't think that far ahead. I don't. My brain doesn't work like that.
I won't talk about Burnley and Brighton then, because that game just nothing.
Well, nothing. We're not going to learn anything new. We know we like Nick Pope.
Yeah. Leeds, Crystal Palace, Bamford.
He should be back.
If he doesn't play this game week 22, he'll definitely be back. He's got a dead leg.
Yeah, it's dead leg. Yeah. He's got to be back within a week.
If his leg isn't back to full fitness, then they have to cut the fucking thing off.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Similarly, maybe Rafinha. I don't know. So
Newcastle's playing Southampton. Southampton should beat them.
Nothing to say.
Yeah. Sheffield's playing Chelsea. Chelsea should beat them.
Well, you say that. Sheffield United seems to have, not with any particular fireworks, but they've come to life.
Yeah, they're on 8 points now.
But did you see Solskjaer reckons that the match official at the end of the Man United Sheffield United game said that Sheffield United's goal shouldn't have stood and Martial's goal should have. So the game should have been completely different. I don't know. They can't do anything about that now, but there you go. Drama.
Doesn't help us now.
Does not.
Yeah. Tottenham's playing West Brom. Do you reckon Kane has a chance of being back? How long's Kane out? He's got like 6 broken ankles, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think they're rebuilding his leg out of plasticine and Lego.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, for me, that's on. I know a lot of people have their eyes on Matias Pereira.
But I was going to say, you're talking about Kane. Pereira's going to go and get 40 points in that match.
Yeah. I had Pereira. I'll remind everyone of this. I had Pereira for about 3 weeks before he was popular.
And how did he do for you?
He scored 10 points the first game I had him.
And then?
Not many.
Okay.
Yeah. Fulham's playing West Ham. West Ham should dominate that fixture. Well, they're coming like fifth.
Yeah, doing great.
Fulham are coming like, 18th. So it's a good team versus a pretty shit team. I talked about getting rid of Suchek, but he'd be good for that fixture.
You'd think.
Yeah. I might even keep all three of my West Ham assets for that one game. Just really fucking punish myself if they lose 1-0. Wolves are playing Leicester City after that. Barnes and Madison for you and I. Obviously, those are the two players of interest in that fixture. Justin may or may not keep a clean sheet, but at this particular point, he's done enough for us to not really...
The big game?
Yeah, next game's huge.
Liverpool versus Manchester City. I see your note here. Avoid captaining Salah. Yeah, it's a fair point.
Well, I mean, he could easily score double digits in this game. You know, he could easily be the difference between...
We've talked about this in a previous episode where I said, you know, largely this is a game of probability, like FPL. And, you know, as much as you know that Salah's a big player, when they come up against a big club, sometimes you kind of think, well, maybe there's a different captain choice. With that in mind, where is the captain choice in game week 23?
Well, I haven't even finished all the fixtures yet.
Well, all right, go on.
Man United versus Everton should be an easy win for United. All right, so my plan for game week 23, as it stands, in terms of transfers, is I just want to get Fraser Forster out of my team and a new goalkeeper in. But... I haven't really put a lot of thought into where my captain's armband is going to sit. But just looking at the fixtures, I reckon I might just slap it on Son again for a little bit more punishment when they play West Bromwich Albion. I think Son should do well against that team, irrespective of the fact that Kane's not playing.
Okay. Well, my main note, because as I say, I find it very difficult to think that far ahead. If Kane is fit, and I don't know if it's that probable. He's got an unknown return date at the moment on his ankle injury. I do want to get him back in my team as soon as is possible. Beyond that, kind of keeping an eye on the guys on my watch list, see how the guys in my team perform, and act accordingly and likely recklessly.
Yeah, my other note in this one was if I don't take Forster out, then potentially depending on how many minutes Chilwell gets in the next couple of game weeks, or next week specifically, bring Chilwell out, bring Dallas in. Because Dallas,
you've been talking about getting Dallas in your team for weeks.
22 of them, in fact. He's just one of those players where it's like, I want to bring him in, I want to bring him in.
I feel that way about...
Something happens, I can't do it.
I feel that way about, like, Rafinha. I feel like midfield is so stacked that it's really hard to kind of work it in. Or if you do bring a guy like... I know El Ghazi didn't work out that well for me after the second week I had him, but you get these guys in and you look at, oh, I've got Salah, I've got Son, I've got Fernandes. Where do you fit them in?
Yeah, and you've got to bench someone. And strikers are always capable of scoring goals, whereas midfielders, you know, you'd rather roll the dice on like a Watkins having a good game or potentially Bamford having a good game over Rafinha. That said, it's frustrating.
Doesn't always work that
way. It's frustrating seeing them perform really well when that sort of shit happens. And for me, Dallas is that player where if I don't do it in the next couple of game weeks, it's just never going to happen at all for me. But I talked about Tarik Lamptey for the first seven or eight game weeks. He never came into my team.
Mopay as well for the first couple.
Yeah.
That's FBL. Yeah. All right, so we're going to have a quick break now. And instead of the usual mailbag...
Oh, you missed the opportunity to press the little mailbag button.
Well, that's sad. But, you know, the mailbag, of course, it's brimming, as always. But this week...
Couldn't get through them all.
Yeah. This week, instead of the mailbag, we're going to do... the FPL community tweet of the week. So stay tuned for that.
Tweet of the week.
Because it's quite entertaining and we'll get to that. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Bench Boost Boys, Scott and Gav. Okay, so as we mentioned before the break, we're going to do our first ever FPL community tweet of the week.
I saw this on Twitter and I just absolutely wet my pants with laughter.
You built it up for me and I thought, oh, okay, he's built it up a lot now. And then you read me the tweet or tweets and it did not disappoint. So this comes from at Randy Shafter and this is his reaction to how his team performed in game week 21. Fucking hell. What a fucking meteoric shower of fetid shit. A proper fucking Titanic avalanche of steaming piss. Saturday went downhill faster than the speed of shite. My team now appears to be held together by arse sweat alone. It's a fucking right state. A couple of shiny new recruits were added for this week's toss fest in the form of the double Everton knobheads, Dominic Calvert spewing and Lucas fucking Dean. Buy one, get one free on these class A fuckers. Except it wasn't. Because it cost me a minus fucking four. Thought I was well fucking clever bringing these wankers in. Ultimate bastardry from those two fucks. It was fucking Newcastle, you smoking helmets. Then we had Joe fucking Cancelo, for some fucking reason, needs another bastard rest. The man's got to be a fucking nocturnal wanker maniac, or some shit, to be this fucking tired all the time, twat. Pep must get a raging fucking hard on from skull fucking FPL managers the world over. He fucking lives for it. There's no point trying to second guess the wanker. He just pulls names out of his ass each week. Until we get some fucker with a periscope up there, we ain't ever gonna know what his next fucking move is. But at least I had a good cover on the bench this week with the man Mitchell, so that's worked out okay. Oh wait, no. The crispy fucker got dropped, didn't he? Fuck's sake. Not only that, the bastards go and keep a clean sheep anyway. And Van Arsholt, who's supposed to be a heap of old fucking shit, goes and gets the three fucking bonus. What a fucking cockwelder. Twist my bollocks into a fucking reef knot, that does. Self-appointed chief shit of the week, though, has to go to the man Gunderwank, who for some unknown fucking reason, I decided to give the fucking captaincy. A fucking defensive midfielder might as well have had Fernand fucking Dingo. What happened to this fucking route we were promised at Man City? 1-0, fuck off. Can't even be fucking asked to watch any highlights tonight. I'd rather watch a fucking cactus grow and then floss my fucking ass with it. Fuck this game and fuck this team. I can't fucking look at it anymore. Fermented fucking shit. Thanks very much, Randy Shafter.
Randy Shafter.
Wow.
Tweet of the week.
That's what an opus.
That is absolutely brilliant. Some of the descriptive words were so visceral, and really enjoyed it. Especially, obviously, the nocturnal wanker maniac, to which this episode is named after.
The guy's got a gift.
And Cancello, that was a frustration for a lot of FPL managers. Yeah. So well done for sticking up for the little guys there, Randy Shafter.
Oh, well, he's worth a follow. And speaking of Twitter, hopefully we're worth a follow too. So at BenchBoostBoys, please also do join our private FPL league. The code, again, is P2IFBX. And BenchBoostBoys.club is the website. Scott, anything more to add?
No, we'll be back next Tuesday to talk about how fucking poorly our game weeks went.
Oh, well, keep an eye on Randy Shafter's emails or tweets.
Yeah, well done, Ryan. Well done, Randy.
Goodbye.